Good evening. This is Sabrina Marie, host of the Building Abundant Success series. Our primetime mastermind that promotes empowered, focused, decisive action and inspired outcome. Our spotlight is on health and wellness. My guest is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He's been featured on Martha Stewart Living, The Dr. Oz Show, CNN, Oprah, Good Morning America, just to name a few. He's back to talk about his awesome book, Real Cause, Real Cure. And you can find out more about this great book by going to the website, realcauserealcure.com. Enjoy. Welcome, Jacob. How are you doing today?
Awesome. Great to be with you again, as always.
Well, thanks so much for being back with us. Tonight, we're going to delve into energy and the American and, I guess, worldwide energy crisis.
Absolutely. And we're talking about the human energy crisis. If you think the problem with oil is a problem, we can see what's going on in your body, you know.
Everybody seems so tired, stressed, lack of energy. You hear about it all over the news. You read about it in magazines and whatnot, what to do for energy. Hey, you got some answers for us.
Absolutely. Well, if you look, one out of four Americans suffers with chronic pain, which very often is an energy crisis. We'll talk about why that is in a moment. 31% of adults consider themselves to have disabling fatigue. 2 to 4% have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, which is the tip of the iceberg of that. And then if you look at indigestion, you're looking at almost half of Americans having digestive issues, whether it's ulcers, indigestion, spastic colon, or other issues that contribute to nutritional deficiencies and not just plain old feeling awful. So we're going to talk today about simple things people can do to get their life back and feel great.
Do you believe with this energy crisis a lot has to do with diet by chance?
Oh, God, yes. You figure half of our calories are coming from empty calories that are basically devoid of vitamins, minerals, and basically anything but calories. So you're looking at 18% of calories coming from sugar. You get an average of about 140 to 150 pounds of sugar per person per year dumped into our diet and food processing. Another 18% of calories from white flour, which that's a whole other story. I mean, it's funny. You'll see on the label it says enriched flour. What does enriched mean? That the food processors took out so many of the vitamins and minerals that people were getting rickets and beriberi and getting all kinds of nutritional deficiencies to where the government said you have to put some nutrients back in. So it's as if a pickpocket took $100, got caught by the police, and the policeman said, you have to put a dollar back in that guy's pocket. And he said, well, here, I'm enriching you. It's kind of crazy, you know. And then you add fats. So half the calories are empty calories. First time in human history that we have high-calorie malnutrition where people are obese and malnourished at the same time.
Heavens. So we've got the malnourishment. But wasn't that enriching meant to actually give the food not only a longer shelf life, but make it look better?
Well, here's an interesting thing leading into indigestion as well. The question is, why do we have this epidemic of indigestion? And indigestion, you used to see it in the old days, you know, if people overstuffed themselves once in a while. But now, most Americans over the age 30, 40, and many younger are finding that they get indigestion a lot. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is that the food processors learned about 30, 40 years ago that if they destroy the enzymes naturally present in food, those are the enzymes that like ripen the apple or ripen the food, and even the meats that are necessary for the function of the animal, if they destroy the enzymes in the food, then the food has a very long shelf life. For example, an ear of corn, shelf life 5 days, corn flakes, 5 millennia. But the problem is that by destroying the enzymes in the food, those are the same enzymes that digest the food when you eat it. So what happens, the food looks good, but it becomes indigestible, and you get indigestion. And that's not too much stomach acid, folks. That's poor digestion, so any stomach acid hurts. So what do? Instead of fixing the digestive system, we shoot out. It's kind of like you have one flat tire and the car's wobbling, so what do? They shoot out the other one to make it wobble balanced. It's kind of nuts. So we'll talk today, you know, the food processing has destroyed the enzymes. Mm-hmm. Many people don't have enough stomach acid. Most people with indigestion are not making enough stomach acid. So So the food sits there and it churns and it churns in the stomach and it churns. And finally, after an hour, the stomach says, this food's not digesting. I think I'm going to return to sender. And all of a sudden you burp and it's like, oh God, you know. A simple thing, if you're burping up and you can tell what you ate 2 hours ago, that food should have been gone, long gone after an hour. You shouldn't be tasting it. Mm-hmm. You have poor digestion. And very simple ways to fix digestion.
Now, you say there's simple ways to fix it. Could that, you know, I know that belching cannot be a good thing. It might be something you shouldn't have been digesting or eating in the first place.
Well, if you're getting heartburn, acid reflux, and for those of you out there who have this problem, especially if you're addicted to acid blockers, and when I say addicted, I mean addicted, because when you look at, like, the little purple pill, you know, Prilosex and Nexium, those kind of animals, if you give healthy people those medications, people with no heartburn, and this research shows after 2 months you can't stop the medications because they get to rebound excess acid, and they get basically heartburn from home when you try to stop the medication. So addicted is the right word for it. So for folks out there with indigestion, take a piece of paper and a pencil and write this down. Number one, you want to go ahead and get some plant-based digestive enzymes and take it with your food. Animal-based digestive enzymes work for inflammation but not for digestion. So a brand that I like is Complete Gest. That's one by Enzymatic Therapy. Now, you know my policy. I don't take money from any of these companies. And royalties for even products I design go to charity. So I am very unabashed when I give things thumbs ups and thumbs downs. I will talk about a whole bunch of different companies and products. Basically, what I find works best for people.
Mm-hmm.
So Complete Gest, that's Enzymatic Therapy. Easy to find any health food store. I will note I carry these at Vitality101.com. But you can find these products anywhere. These are common products. You're going to find, take that with your meals. Digestion will work a lot better. If you add a little bit of vinegar, about 2 tablespoons, and what you can do is just make a salad dressing with it. The vinegar is about the same acidity as stomach acid. I'll give you one that may be a less commonly talked about in natural circles. But if you drink 2 to 3 ounces of a diet cola, that has the same acidity as stomach acid. Now, not regular cola because of the sugar, but just a couple ounces, not 60 ounces. It can actually help digestion. It's a funny thing. I mean, I'm not saying colas are good, but I'm saying this is one of the perks of it. And another thing, stop drinking ice drinks with your meals because ice turns off the activity of enzymes. Enzymes work best at 98.6. So if you're going to have that cola, get it, you know, refrigerator cold, not pour it on ice kind of cold. And use warm drinks like warm teas with your meals, and you'll find digestion gets so much better. And then save the ice drinks for in-between meals where you're not going to be blocking your digestion. So those 3 simple tips will improve your digestion dramatically. And then we'll give you tips for if you have bad indigestion, how you heal your stomach as well.
Now, food is supposed to be the fuel that gives you energy, and we are having an energy issue. The food is lacking in vitamins and the proteins and many of the things we should be getting. Can you talk about the antioxidants and other things that can help with energy production?
Well, people ask, which vitamin or mineral do I need? And the answer is all of them.
Yes.
So the simplest way to do that is to get whole foods. And what my wife does is she has the blender or food processor, and she gets whatever veggies and things happen to be around that day at the market. And so mix up a big thing of juice, and we'll sip on that through the day. In addition to whole foods, getting a good multivitamin. And it's just really hard to get everything you need out of the American diet these days. So I will have people take a vitamin powder. I like one called the Energy Revitalization System Vitamin Powder, where you just take one drink. It's not expensive, it's easy, it tastes good, and it will replace over 35 tablets of supplements and vitamins and minerals and all of that. It has everything from A to Z that people need except basically essential fatty acids because oil and water don't mix. So get a good multi, cut back the sugar, and I will add the 3 magic words except for chocolate. I think chocolate is a health food. I've been saying that for decades. And if you get dark chocolate, so much the better. Talk about antioxidants. Talk about increasing energy. But chocolate is not a low-calorie food, so go for quality, not quantity. Get the best tasting one you can and savor that sucker. And if you want a nice brand that has some really good sugar-free, Russell Stover has some good sugar-free lines. But there's a little website company called Abdullah Candies. So AbdullahCandies.com. They have regular chocolates, but they have a sugar-free line that is to die for. So just get one piece a day and just savor it, but it tastes awesome.
I've always heard that B vitamins are great for energy, and I wanted you to talk a little bit about the different complexes in those Bs, because there's so many different ones, 1, 2, niacin, you name it. How do these help us with energy production?
Well, if you look at the energy molecules themselves, if you eat a hamburger or if you eat some tofu or whatever you're putting in your body as food, your body has to turn it into certain energy chemicals, energy molecules, to be able to harvest that energy. And the B vitamins and ribose, they're basically like the paper that those energy molecules are printed on. So say you have lunch and your body wants to turn it into energy, it turns it into predominantly adenosine triphosphate, ATP, which is made up of adenine and ribose and phosphate. We get plenty of phosphate. If you look at NADH, that's niacin and those same things. If you look at FADH, it's bioflavonoids and those same nutrients. So the B vitamins combined with ribose, and we'll talk about ribose in a moment as well, are the backbone of energy production. That's basically it's if you want to build a house and you have no lumber, you know, you have people milling around waiting, and then the lumber truck comes. That's what it's like when the B vitamins and ribose comes, and all of a sudden your energy furnaces are cranking, you know, it's like that house is going up, your energy mitochondrial furnaces start to crank out energy, and you feel a whole lot better.
What are some good herbs for energy? Or do you believe in that?
Well, there's a number of very good ones. So first I'm going to give nutrition. We talked about the energy revitalization system vitamin powder, that one's by enzymatic therapy. We're going to add ribose, which is actually derived naturally. It's one that your body makes. And we'll talk about a study that we recently submitted for publication that showed that it increased energy 61%. But if you're looking at herbs, there's a number of very good ones. Ashwagandha, which balances adrenal function. Rhodiola is a nice, simple way to stimulate. Some green tea. Green tea, the caffeine, has a modest amount of caffeine to increase energy, but it contains theanine, which calms you at the same time. So you can kind of have your cake and eat it, too. We don't think of green tea as an herb, but it's probably the most used herb in the world, and for good reason.
Mm. Now, there are the social addictors that people think give them the energy, whether it be the caffeine in the morning or the big drinks that you can get for, what is it, $6 a pop now? Some of them. You know,
oh, well, they're talking about Mad Bull or the 64-ounce sodas, which they call it. All of those are energy loan shark drinks. You know?
Yeah, or the big cafe latte, make, whatever the heck they call them.
That egg, yeah.
They just stack on the names, you know, and you see the price rise, you know. You can even get the energy boosters like bee pollen and other things in there, but you wonder, gee, I don't know if that's so healthful. But they swear it gives them the energy and then they crash.
What
do you say to these caffeine-laden, alcohol-laden? I mean, some of them actually do have alcohol in them.
Well, you know how times are tight for a lot of folks, and you know, finances are tight. So if somebody is sitting there struggling financially, they're going to tell them, hey, I know this loan shark. He'll fix you all up.
Yes.
Well, that's what's happening here. These drinks are energy loan shark drinks. Now, I don't mind if people have a cup or two of tea a day or even a cup or two of coffee, but when it's going up to a pot or two, we have these drinks that are loaded with high levels of caffeine and, most importantly, high levels of sugar. Sugar is a major energy loan shark. Basically, you're just making the problem worse. You feel a little better, but then when it comes time to pay for payback, it's nasty. So it's as if you say, well, I'm exhausted from that, you know, pot of coffee or this, you know, energy drink, so-called energy drink I had, and now I need more energy, and now you take more of it. And suddenly you wonder why you're exhausted all the time, and you start to get achy and insomnia and brain fog, and you start slipping into chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia with, you know, widespread achiness, and you're on a slippery slope. So we're going to talk today, and here's a simple tool for healthy energy. If people just remember the word shine, S-H-I-N-E, which is sleep, hormonal support, infections, nutritional support, and exercise. And for most people, if they just get the multivitamin and ribose we talked about, a good 8 hours sleep a night, we'll talk about how to get that, and go outside in the sunshine and get some exercise, they're going to find that their energy is skyrocketing. And now it's going to be real healthy energy.
So many people are dehydrated when they reach for these addictors, whether it be smoking or drinking or whatever. And I wanted you to talk about the importance of water and energy.
That's critical. And, you know, if people say, well, I'm exhausted at 2 p.m, what should I do? I tell them, go get a glass of water, and you'll be amazed. You know, most people say, well, how many glasses of water should I drink a day? And I say, you know, if there was a hell, I can imagine they have a corner where they can sign people to eternity counting glasses of water all day. It's a nasty way to spend the rest of your life. So don't do that. Instead, just check your mouth and lips. Do that right now. Check your mouth and lips and see if they're dry. If they're dry, you're thirsty. But also, next time you feel tired, just walk over, get yourself 8 to 12 ounces of cold water and drink it. And you will find, usually in 3-4 minutes, much quicker than that, your energy is starting to climb right back up. So if you want a simple energy drink, try a glass of cold water. It's cheap, healthy, I guarantee that it's good for you.
Now, if you got some people who are going to argue with you, you've got reverse osmosis, you've got spring, you've got distilled, you've got all these fancy bottled waters that might not be as cheap as we would like. What do you think of the water industry? What is the best water to drink?
Yeah, one that has a mix of 2 oxygens and a hydrogen, or two hydrogens and oxygen, actually. Yeah, H2O, sorry about that. But let me give a simple thing. Even the tap water is far better than being dehydrated. And an argument can be made that plastic bottles are a disaster, but I think they're still better than dehydration. So we're going to be moving, as a country, back to glass bottles. If you're looking for a water filter, Multipure is a nice, simple one. There's a friend of mine, Bren Jacobson, who has the purewater.com. You can get, they're easy to find, the Multipures. And they're not very expensive. You know, Evian spelled backwards is naive.
Yeah.
So unless you're doing it because you really like the taste of it, but I just assume if you get the Sani water, which is reverse osmosis with magnesium added, that's a cheap, common bottled water. It's as toxic in Europe. They have a source that's poisoned with bromate, but in the United States, that's a good, Dasani is a pretty good brand. But even just, I would get a Multipure water filter and just put it on your tap. Or we have a cooler where we get these 5-gallon jugs filled for about $1 at one of the local reverse osmosis machines. That's what I drink.
Well, now that we've got all this energy, or supposedly after we follow these wonderful tips that you've given us, you've got some people on the other end of the spectrum. They're so wound up because probably they've had all these, energy drinks or whatever, and they can't sleep. They're hyped up probably all night, and then they'll crash in the morning. How do we sleep?
Well, here's the thing, too, and a lot of people have anxiety, so we'll talk first about sleep. How you calm down, how you get a good night's sleep if you have insomnia. But then we're going to talk about anxiety and how to treat that naturally as well. Mm-hmm. So for sleep, certainly good sleep hygiene. So don't drink a coffee a couple hours before bedtime, and don't do your exercise an hour before bedtime. Do it a little more, you know, do it earlier in the day. There's a nice mix of 6 herbs. It's called the Revitalizing Sleep Formula. That was by Enzymatic Therapy. Works very well. These most people sleeping like kittens. It's just, you know, you take anywhere from 1 to 4 capsules an hour before bedtime or even at bedtime, and you'll find that most people will sleep through the night. Melatonin, 1.5 milligram, is as effective for sleep as a high dose. But the higher doses, like 5 milligrams, actually will help decrease acid reflux at nighttime. And let's talk about that in a moment. What happens if you're laying down and gravity is no longer keeping acid in your stomach, and now it's like rolling up into your throat and you're inhaling it and get heartburn all night? So we'll talk about that in a moment also. But the revitalizing sleep formula for those is awesome. That's the main one I use. There's another product called Sleep Tonight, which has ashwagandha and phosphatidylserine. For people that are exhausted all day, but their head hits the pillow at 10 o'clock at night and their mind's wide awake, that Sleep Tonight with ashwagandha and phosphatidylserine, very, very good for settling down the mind so you can drift off into sleep. The smell of lavender. If you take some lavender oil, spray it on your pillow, or just put a drop on your upper lip, the smell of lavender will help you sleep. So it's not hard to get the 8 hours sleep. There's lots of natural things that can leave you sleeping, like say, sleeping like a kitten. And to make the time, a lot of people say, well, I got three kids and eight school meetings and all these different things, and how do I make time for it? Well, take a piece of paper and a pen, write down a list of where you spend your time, the things you do each day, and have two columns, things that you enjoy that feel good and things that don't feel good. And what you'll find, a lot of the things that don't feel good, you can start to withdraw your energy. So these board meetings and school meetings and things like that, and you go like, well, is it doing anything useful? It's like, no, it's a horrible waste of time. And is it helping anybody? It's like, no. But, you know, it's funny, I used to be on every committee and chairperson of this and on these and that board. And one day I came home and my wife, I said, how was it? And I said, horrible. She said, did it do anything useful? I said, utter waste of time. And she said, why do you do these? And it was like a light switch went off in my brain. And except for starting a new school where I was a CEO, all the other ones I dropped. And I don't do these things anymore, because unless it's one I really love. So you start to get rid of those things. In addition, if you watch the news each night, whether it's Fox, CNN, MSNBC, most of that's really a fiction. If you have any doubt of that, just channel surf between the three of them and you'll think that they're on three different planets when they cover many same stories. So if it feels good to watch it, go ahead and watch it. But when it stops feeling good to watch news, I'm going to teach you a simple Tai Chi move. You pause, you center, you reach far over to the side, you grab the remote control, swing it forward, point it to the TV, and click off. And take that time that you spend watching news cycles repeating themselves and add it to the time you have for bedtime instead.